signs of Jesus coming. Signs of the times. And every time an Adventist says that, it means signs of Jesus soon coming. But I'm a nutritionist as well as a physician, and I want to talk about how nutrition fits into this. So this is Nutritional Signs of the Times, and you're getting a handout. So my sermon topic is Nutritional Signs of the Times. Now, look at the slide. Here's what it says. I'm going to keep coming back to this. Christ knew that in order to carry out the plan of salvation, he must begin the work of temptation of redemption, just where the ruin began. Christ took up the work of redemption just where the ruin began. But there's one sentence left out here, but it's on your screen. Adam fell on the point of appetite. Christ took up the work of redemption just where the ruin began. The same is true of our experience. We are to begin the work of reform just where the work of degeneracy is so keenly felt. Now tell me, have you all started on your part of the plan of redemption? Did you start where the ruin began? Did you start on the point of appetite? What aspect did you start on? Now I want to go through about 10 signs of nutritional signs of the times. Number one, was your scripture reading. Here in Matthew, it talks about these people who think they're being saved. They've done many wonderful things for Christ. They've cast out devils in his name. They've prophesied in his name. They've done many wonderful things. This is the saddest day in earth's history for that group, because they're lost and they think they're saved. Now, why? They didn't keep the commandments. Can you hear me? It's jiggling? Okay. How about the Ten Commandments? Most churches give it a 10% discount. Isn't that right? Most churches have a 10% discount on the Ten Commandments. So Adventists feel, since they keep the commandments, this doesn't apply to them. Is that true?
No.
No, it applies to them too.
Amen.
Let's not be among those who profess to be one of Jesus' followers, and he says to you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, because you're not doing what I ask you to do. Sign number two, the spirit of prophecy is being made of none effect, which is Satan's last great deception. The very last deception of Satan will be to make of none effect the testimony of the Spirit of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Satan will work in different ways and through different agencies to unsettle the confidence of God's remnant people in the true testimony. Satan is really not trying to get you to say, I don't believe in the spirit of prophecy. He wants you to say you believe it, but this is why I'm not doing it. And he doesn't care what the excuse is. He's just trying to make it of none effect. That's the last great deception. Anything further than the last? This is what's going to come to this church. The last great deception is going to be to get you to ignore the spirit of prophecy. Sign number three. Many are ignoring the most basic nutritional health principle God has given us. Don't eat between meals. Snacking. The Bible says we are to eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. Ecclesiastes 10:17. He was talking to a group of ministers in Europe one time, and she said, "I am astonished to learn that after all the light that has been given in this place, many of you eat between meals. You should never let a morsel pass your lips between your regular meals. Nothing should be eaten between meals, no confectionery, nuts, fruits, or food of any kind." Now back to this plan of redemption, our part of the plan of redemption. We start where Adam fell, on the point of appetite. How are you doing with your appetite? Have you learned not to eat between meals? Sign number four. Gluttony is the prevailing sin of this age. Are Adventists less overweight than other people? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. This involves us too. Sign number five. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. This prophecy, by the way, is now being fulfilled. Actually, the Bible is clear. If we do eat clean meat, it should be kosher without the fat or the blood. Leviticus 3:17 points that out. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will be done away. That's happening now. Are you preparing for the Lord's coming? Are you doing away with the flesh meats? I'll have to tell you my own experience with the vegetarian diet. I had started teaching at Loma Linda University. I decided I had to take a one-month course on cardiology at Harvard University. So I went back there. We had 50 in the class. Dr. Sam Levine was our professor. Next to Paul Dudley White, he was the top cardiologist in the country. And you know, the Sanborn Company thought this is a good group to sell their EKG machines to. 50 students. So they put on a banquet for them. Dr. Levine said you had a choice of either lobster or steak. How many want lobsters? Hands went up. How many want steaks? Hands went up. Well, I really wasn't planning to go. My hand didn't go up either time. But the young doctor sitting next to me, he knew I was from Loma Linda. He said, "I know why your hand didn't go up. You're a vegetarian." He was from USC, Los Angeles. He knew what we believed. At the end of the class, when Dr. Sam Levine finished lecturing, we were on the top row of the amphitheater. That boy next to me grabbed me by the coat sleeve. Those days at Harvard, everybody wore coats and ties. We were well-dressed students. He grabbed me by my coat sleeve and dragged me down the steps right in front of Dr. Sam Levine. He said, "Dr. Levine, Dr. Scharfenberg's a vegetarian. Can't we have a vegetarian plate for him?" And you know how nice and gracious these people are. Of course, we'll arrange that. So I felt I had to go, even though I hadn't planned to go. So I got there, and the people were standing there with cups in their hands with their cocktails. I wouldn't even hold a glass of orange juice. I didn't want anybody seeing me hold a glass of any kind. Cocktails. But I was worried about that vegetarian meal. I saw a lady come out from the kitchen. I went over and spoke to her. She was in charge of the kitchen. She was the right lady to talk to. I said, "Say, you know, I was the one who ordered that special meal, vegetarian meal." "Oh," she said, "I hadn't heard anything about it." "But that's all right. We'll fix one for you. But you have to come with me into the dining room. I'll tell you where to sit so they know where to bring that plate." Okay, fine. I didn't care where they put me. So I followed her into the dining room. There was a round table seated 8 people right there in that corner. "I want you to sit right there." Fine. I didn't care what table it was. It turned out to be the speaker's table. Mr. Jenks, president of the Sanborn Company that made the EKG machine that was putting on this banquet, he was there. Sam Levine, famous cardiologist, he was there. His nephew, Dr. Herbert Levine, was there. There was an Italian doctor, professor, cardiologist there. There was a lady cardiologist there. I was sitting in the corner. The waiter came over and said, "How many wanted lobsters?" The head went up. "How many wanted steaks?" The hands went up. I was in the corner. What was I to do? Vegetarian plate. Everybody turned and looked at me. I was so embarrassed. 1 minute later, another waiter came, not knowing the other waiter had been there already taking the order, and repeated the process. How many wanted lobsters? How many wanted steaks? And I had to say a little louder from the very back, "Vegetarian plate." That man raised his voice by 100 decibels. "Oh yes, vegetarian plate." Everybody turned and looked at me again. I was so embarrassed. Why is the Lord putting me through all this? The next day, we were going through the women's hospitals, and we were listening to heart murmurs on this lady in the women's hospital. 8 people in a group. I'll let my classmates listen first, and I was at the foot of the bed, waiting my turn. The Italian professor who was there that night, he came over to me. He said, "What medical school did you graduate from?" I said, "The College of Medical Evangelists." "Yes, I graduated from the College of Medical Evangelists. I was a medical evangelist." He nodded and went back. From there, we went up to the room where they were showing the new kidney dialysis machines, just small boxes. 50 of our students couldn't see it at one time. So I allowed the other students to look first. The Italian professor who was at the table that night came over to me again. He said, "I noticed how you ate last night." How could he not have noticed? He said, "You know, we should all be eating like that." And we got into a great discussion on the diet, and pretty soon the whole class was standing around us as we were discussing the vegetarian diet for heart disease prevention. Then I understood why the Lord had put me through that. He wanted everybody at that table to know I was a vegetarian and that everybody should be eating like this. It was a tremendous experience. Number 6 sign. Adventists are being brought to the front And their doctrines will be examined by the greatest men in the world. Now I have here a little book. Came out in 1990 from the World Health Organization. Diet, Nutrition, and the Prevention of Chronic Diseases. And here they keep mentioning Adventists. Adventists. Why are they mentioning Adventists? It says here on page 57, California Adventists on a plant diet have less coronary heart disease. Adventists in Netherlands and Norway have one-third the coronary heart disease compared to the general population. Page 64. There's less colon cancer in California Adventists. Half of them are vegetarians. They also do not drink alcohol. We had a big exhibit that I organized at the School of Public Health on California Adventists having less, only half as much colon cancer. I heard two doctors as they were leaving the exhibit. The one said to the other, "I'm so confused. I don't know whether to become a Seventh-day Adventist or just live like them." That was a good question, wasn't it? Page 75. Those people who are on plant diet have less diabetes. The mortality of California Seventh-day Adventists from diabetes is one half that of the general population. Within the Adventist, diabetes is less on those who are vegetarians. Page 99. Our data are from studies done on religious groups such as the Seventh-day Adventists. Page 77 to 8. There are less gallstones among the vegetarians. That's a result of the Adventist Health Study. The greatest minds in the country are going to be looking at Adventists and looking at everything they believe. Sign number 7. Our schools are to teach a course in advanced science that supports our teachings on health. Now, if you went to one of our schools, one of our academies, what course would you take that would give you all the things that Adventists teach on health that's different than other people? We don't have such a course. There's a little bit here, a little bit there. I started the first such course at the School of Public Health at Loma Linda, still being taught. But Dr. Register, head of our nutrition department, Dr. Harding, our dean, they'd go on the camp meeting circuit and preach to all the people about the latest in science. And then they'd hold up councils on diet and foods and say, "You know, this is what we were told many years ago." And the young people heard this message and they said, "If that's what they teach out there, we want to go out there. We want to take that course." There was no such course. So I started such a course. I talked about milk and eggs, talked about meat, talked about 2 meal a day program, talked about the exercise. You know, I had an excellent course. Talked about tea and coffee. Went through all these things with the students. But we really don't have all of our schools teaching such a course. Why should it be that way? Sister White says, "A knowledge of science of all kinds is power. And it is in the purpose of God that advanced science shall be taught in our schools as a preparation for the work that is to precede the closing scenes of Earth's history." So why should all of our young people know what our program is compared to other people's? It's part of the closing scenes of Earth's history. This is to prepare people, soften people up for the Lord's message, for the last message. Sign number 8. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. So why are the young people supposed to learn all this? This is the message that's going to be given at the last to prepare people for the final message, the Sabbath Sunday question. When the people see that we are sound on health, they'll think we're sound on Bible doctrine too. Okay. Side number 9. The work of health reform is the Lord's means for lessening suffering in our world and for purifying His church. Now we know the vegetarian diet lessens suffering in the world. Did you know the leading cause of death in this country is cardiovascular disease? Do you know more people are falling or are dying from cardiovascular disease than the next 5 leading causes of death combined? Have you heard what the latest information is? They have found out that lifestyle is the best preventive and the best treatment for this. Lifestyle. 7 risk factors you've got to avoid. What are they? Tobacco. Alcohol. Okay. Inactivity. Overweight. And then they said too much meat and sugar. Nobody liked that. So the American Heart Association changed it and made it positive. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Then they added 2 others. High blood pressure and high cholesterol. But if you did the first 5, you are not likely to have high blood pressure or high cholesterol. They all work against that. Now, we know there are millions of people on statin drugs to lower their blood cholesterol. Excellent studies have been done on it as regarding life expectancy. Does it increase life expectancy? Take those medicines. For 93% of the people taking those pills, it does not improve their life expectancy any. It doesn't do anything else that's good either. For 7 people, it does help them to live 8 years longer. Those people, that 7%, already have heart disease. Our problem as physicians is we have a hard time telling who has heart disease and who doesn't. Now, in 2015, the World Heart Disease Group published this statement. What should we tell our patients now about these statin drugs? You should tell them that we thought if we lowered everybody's cholesterol, we would have no more heart disease. That was in error. That was not correct. So what should we tell them? We should tell them what will really benefit them. What is that? Don't smoke. Don't drink alcohol. Exercise every day. Keep your weight down. Don't eat, eat more fruits and vegetables. They didn't want to get that word in there about meat and vegetarian thing. You know, they're handling it a different way. They're telling everybody, don't get more than 5 to 6% of your calories from saturated fat. Now, any dietitian can calculate that out for you. That means vegetarian diet. It also means no chocolate candy bars. It also means forget the croissants, which are made loaded with butterfat. That's what I mean. But that's another way of saying be a vegetarian. So in 2015, the government was advised by the scientists, Department of Agriculture, Department of Public Health, was advised by the scientists, tell everybody the vegetarian diet is an optimum diet. Because Adventists were living so much longer, the vegetarian ones. Gary Fraser did studies. He showed that in the general population, what percent of the men in California lived to be 85 or older? 19.5%. What percent of Adventist vegetarians lived to be 85 or older? 48.6%. Quite a difference. Women, general population, 39.3%. For the Adventist women, 60.1% lived to be 85 or older. So these scientists, even though they weren't vegetarians, they had to advise the government, tell the whole nation that the vegetarian diet is an optimum diet. Who is it that teaches don't smoke, don't drink, exercise, keep your weight down, eat lots of fruits and vegetables, be a vegetarian diet? Who teaches that? Adventists. The work of health reform is the Lord's means for lessening suffering in our world. That we know is a fact, scientifically. And for purifying his church. Do you mean the reason that our church isn't yet a pure church? Part of the reason is because we aren't paying attention to health reform? It is. That's part of the reason. Have you noticed that people who are interested in health, interested in diet, and how they eat, are more interested in religious things too? The one leads to the other. Now, a large city evangelism, Sister White says that we need medical evangelists to do the work. What's a medical evangelist? Well, we would say it's somebody who works out of a sanitarium. We don't have those anymore. Today we would call it a live-in lifestyle center. They work in these live-in lifestyle centers, educating people how to live so they don't get sick. Adventist system for public health. Prevention of disease. Okay? Ellen White said the usual ordained minister is not sufficient for the task for large city evangelism. Yes, of course, he's going to help. But we need medical evangelists, a man trained with the knowledge of a doctor, but doesn't practice like most doctors do. But he practices in a way to teach people how to live so they don't get sick. Listen to this statement. The word of God in his law is binding upon every intelligent mind. The truth for this time, the third angel's message, is to be proclaimed with a loud voice, meeting with increasing power as we approach the great final test. What's the great final test? Sabbath versus Sunday. This test, that great final test, must come to the churches in connection with the true medical missionary work. What's the medical missionary work got to do with the Sabbath Sunday question? You read the whole paragraph. She says it's a matter of obedience to God's natural laws as well as his Ten Commandments. She said it is just as much sin to violate the laws of our being as to break one of the Ten Commandments. Now, I want to have a handout to give to you. This is another one. Did you have it? On the legal versus moral laws. Legal laws are made in this earth. Let's see, do we have those to hand out here? They're coming. Yeah, they're coming. I want you to understand this. Legal laws are made on earth. They're changeable. Moral laws are made in heaven, unchangeable. And I end up at the end of these comparisons, Sunday is a legal law, not a moral law, legal law, changeable. Sabbath is a moral law made in heaven.
Amen.
God made us physically. He knows what we have to do to keep healthy. He's told us through the spirit of prophecy. You know, in 1844, when Christ moved from the holy place to the most holy place, he had a little change in function. And what was the first thing he did? He appointed a prophet, Ellen White, particularly to discuss with us health, how to eat, how to live, so we didn't get sick. It's really exciting. Now, the question is, have you started your work in your part of the plan of redemption on the point of appetite? Where did you start? What are you doing about it? I've given you a whole lot of things. Have you stopped eating between meals? Have you given up flesh foods? You know, Sister White says we should make a pledge. And I'm going to hand out now the pledge cards for you to sign. We had the first pledge was on alcohol. Sister White had a dream. There were 20 or 30 of our leaders gathered in a room. And a tall man, which she recognized, an angel who had helped her in her writings, went to the leader of the group and said, "Brother, I want you to sign this pledge. I will not drink alcohol." The man read it. He said, "You know, I don't think I need to sign this. Sometimes I think I do need a little alcohol." So he passed it to Brother B. And Brother B says, "Look, I feel like Brother A. I can't sign this pledge not to drink alcohol." And it went around the room and nobody signed it. And then the tall man came, but in a quiet, stern voice, said to Brother A, "Either you sign this or resign your position in the church." He signed it. Next man signed. Everybody signed it. Sister White says, "Sign the pledge every time you have a chance. Sign the pledge." So it was first, it was alcohol. Then with World War I, it was tobacco. She added tobacco. Then she finally added tea and coffee to the pledge. And then she added flesh food. Chicken and poultry, fish, to the pledge. She says, "Every time this pledge is presented to you, sign it." God wants us to have a pledge and sign the pledge that we will try to live up to the health message. So back to the beginning statement again. Christ knew that in order to carry out the plan of salvation, he must begin the work of redemption just where the ruin began. Adam fell on the point of appetite. Christ took up the work of redemption just where the ruin began. The same is true of our experience. We are to begin the work of reform just where the work of degeneracy is so keenly felt. I told Pastor Mike, we should advertise this program just for those who are preparing for Jesus' coming. That's who it's for. It's not for everybody else. It's for those who want to prepare for Jesus' coming. From the nutritional standpoint, the appetite is where we're to begin, and I've given you some ideas where that should start.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for all the information you've given to this people. We're so thankful that you gave us Ellen White to tell us what we should be doing, and that this message has come direct from you. And we have a group here this morning that is willing to surrender all and do just what you're asking us to do to prepare for Jesus' soon coming. We thank you so much for all the information you've given us. Show us how to use this message in a way that will bring others to a knowledge of the truth also. For Jesus' sake, amen.